Oh me, oh my. Look at that fish.
What is up? Welcome to the Smalley Talk Podcast. This is your host, Josh Renko. Got my boy, Christian Vaughn, on the other line. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's NFL say. Draft night? Is that what we're saying?
No, draft night? Honestly, like,
NBA playoffs?
At all. NBA playoffs, spring, turkey season's in full tit.
Dude. Hey, guess what?
Smallmouth are running.
Like, Pacers have been in the playoffs 2 years in a row. I'm starting to associate that with the pre-spawn. You know, last year, last year we were catching pre-spawn fish. We were watching Pacers playoff games. Yep. I feel like it's becoming a tradition. The Pacers are back, baby. We're back.
Dude, it's been so much fun. It's been an awesome. Yeah, this is going to sound like crazy take. So we're joining you. It's at the end of April. We just got back from a great trip to the Susquehanna.
Wild trip, dude. Wild trip.
Absolutely wild behavior out there.
We've had some wild trips, dude. This is up there.
This was up there. So we're going to get into that a little bit for sure. But
hey, it was so wild. I didn't even know if I was going to make it back with my mustache. I thought I was going to get that thing just ripped off, dude. It was wild.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were too, and I was worried for you, buddy. So so here's the deal. The Pacers season has been incredible. It's been awesome. Welcome to the Smalley Pacers Talk Podcast, dude.
Chris invited me to a game. We just went to a game together, dude.
We just went to a game. It was very fun.
It was awesome.
I talked. So on the trip that we just went on, it was Jeremy Crow, myself, Alex Deneau, and Josh. Which was a great crew, chopped down crew. But you know, it was kind of a last minute deal. We weren't really sure what we were going to do with the trip, if we were going to go out in jet boat or kayak or when we were going to, you know, it kind of was like a last minute thrown together thing. I'll just say that.
And I mean, springtime too is it's like you can plan all you want. Yeah. But we were literally up until 2 days before we left, we were not sure if we were going to be able to go or not.
Yeah. So, very, very fun. Great trip, great crew. But yeah, the Pacers thing has been incredible. I was telling Alex on the trip, like, I feel like Henry and I, my oldest and I have like bonded so much over the Pacers season that it's like been, yeah, it's been an awesome father-son thing.
Sick,
I think, you know, it's been pretty special. So looking forward to the rest of the playoffs for sure. But yeah,
Halliburton, what the Halliburton, dude?
Dude, this time of year has been, it's been an incredible couple years for spring. So fishing, basketball, you know, all the outdoor stuff that you can handle. So yeah, it was pretty awesome. And you got to go freaking when we got back, you went 2 days ago.
Yeah, I was I'm just a freaking piece of shit fishing bum, dude. I get back from the trip and I'm like scheming to go.
I swear. When you sent me a photo, we 5 day fishing trip. We get back 2 days later. I just get a photo of like a pretty big smallmouth that's clearly not on our trip. I was like, are you kidding? I just sent back LOL. What do you do? So I don't know, dude. That's wild behavior, dude. That is bass burgers on a full flip.
Well, I mean, honestly, I was like, you know, babe, it'd be really nice just after work one of these days, let's just go out on the boat, just enjoy, you know, the outdoors. And Katie's a sucker for like outdoor stuff. Like she likes being on the boat, on the back of the boat. That's why we went to the New River for, you know, spring break. And yeah, so we just like, I was like, yeah, let's go this day. And she texts me and was like, oh, it's really cold and it's windy. And I just like sent her a sad face. And then she was like, okay, I'll still go. I just have to wear a sweatshirt. So, but yeah, we went out, actually busted them up pretty good. So
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's it's pretty nice. Yeah, you guys went on the south side of Indianapolis, right?
Dirty South, baby. Yeah.
Pretty awesome. That's so close too. So
15 minutes for me, and it's even closer for you. So
it's 5 minutes for me. Yeah. I haven't even been once. My trolling motor's in freaking the dungeon right now.
We had several gear scares we had several gear scares, including one tremendous. I wouldn't even call it a scare. It was quite the incident. We're not sure if this story will be told this episode or future episodes, but we got a doozy to tell
later or not at all.
Chris had, there was multiple things I had to I had to gather my inner Mexican MacGyver skills, and I got Chris's trolling motor working again because there was fear it was broken. Then he actually completely demolished it the same day.
Yeah, hit her pretty hard, I'd say. The Susquehanna is pretty famous for its ledges. Found a pretty sharp one as I was drifting about 5 miles per hour, trolling motor just goosed down into the water. So the collar that's like on the shaft of my trolling motor, like loosens up on its own sometimes and it falls down. So it had fallen down and I clearly had not seen it. This area was like, there's no way your trolling motor should be all the way down. I'm floating damn near 6 miles per hour, I would say. I mean, just ripping. Jeremy and I are talking, you know, whatever. All of a sudden, dude, it hit so hard that like the boat, I was on 10. Okay. Hit so hard that like the boat, like it almost like rocked me. Like I was going to get thrown out of the boat, which I've done before, but I feel like this one was, I was floating downstream and it like bent the shaft. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with it. It's cracking.
That Susquehanna is, she can be an angry, angry beast, dude. She can like really be hard on equipment. I can imagine if we lived there, you probably would have to either be constantly repairing your boat or like have some bulletproof equipment, which is why Rockproof is made there, No coincidence.
I tell you this, it didn't matter what kind of boat you have. If you hit your trolling motor going 5 miles per hour, fully fracking goose down into the water, it's going to cause some major, major problems for you.
Yeah. And this trip, honestly, there's, we're going to get into the fishing aspect of it because it was really fun. But I would say, other than the story that will or will not be told during this episode, which that absolutely defined the trip. The other defining thing to this trip was wind, dude. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, we had some rough goes, dude. So we'll just start it off.
It was insane. Like the wind, I've never experienced anything like that before.
No,
on a boat.
Same. Absolutely same. I mean, it was, we've been out on some sustained windy days for sure, but like this was all day. Dude. So anyways, we get out there and the river's a little up, I would say. Wouldn't you say it's a little up, but not
say it's more than a little up. Yeah. It was, the river was, I mean, it wasn't like high, like, oh my gosh, it's blown out high, but like, it was like, okay, clearly this thing's like up. And especially the Juniata, that was up even more so than the main river. So I felt like, wherever we fish, whether it was the main river or the tributaries, like you were feeling that current the whole time we were there. And towards the end, I feel like it was like, okay, it's starting to get a little bit more manageable. Yeah. But
Speaking of, if there are any lithium battery companies out there that want to sponsor our podcast, I need you. Please reach out to me. I need.
Yeah, you're struggling with the battery, the power management. I know. Luckily, we had a house that was at a convenient, awesome house, dude. It was on the river, had a ramp, had a private ramp.
Private ramp.
We used multiple times. It was, and the fishing around the house was super good. Like it was like,
yep.
it was in an area where I feel like you could launch and you wouldn't see very many people
at all. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great, yeah. Man. The spot was great. I really wanted to do more exploration on the main river and kind of do some different stretches that I'd never seen before and done. This was the house that we rented happened to be on a stretch of the river that I don't think either one of us had ever done, but you've been out there many more times than I have.
I've been around the area, like upstream of there, but I had never been.
Yes. Well, as had I.
I'd been up and downstream of there, but that like probably yes. like 2 mile section right there I had never done. But
I was kind of the same way. I had been above it and below it.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was very awesome. So the river was up for sure. And I would say that the character, like just describing the river while we were out there, it dropped a lot in the 4 days that we were out there, I would say. It was clear. Oh, yeah. It was not really clearing because the river really wasn't that dirty, but like the main river sections of it were clearing. Like they were getting super clear. Yeah. But it was definitely dropping. Like the water level was dropping quite a bit. So that's the river and the way it's set up. And I think the water temp was like low 50s, right? 51, 52.
When we got there, yeah, it was barely cracking 50. And we had the second day was the coldest. First day was like windy and somewhat manageably warm. And then the second day I had like my winter shit on. It was like high of like 46 and super windy. And then we got hailed on that day. Second day is when we got hailed on. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was the second day.
No, the first day is the day that we had like four different seasons.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
We had four different, like it hailed on us. It was sunshiny and clear and warm.
That was so bizarre.
It lightning and thundered on us. But the one constant throughout the entire day
wind.
Was like a 35 mile per hour sustained wind. Like
yeah,
30 to 30. It was probably 30, wouldn't you say? A sustained wind of about 30.
Yeah, but like the gusts, dude, there was a couple gusts that were probably over 50. Like it was like
crazy.
Yeah, it was like there was one point. I mean, I beached my boat three different times because I was like, I can't be on the water with it like this. Like we gotta like beach it. Like it was pretty intense there a couple times. So yeah,
it was pretty. And that was the day Alex and I were fishing together, and I don't know, dude. We kind of employed a few different tactics, but I'll say I'll just say that I broke off several big fish throughout the day that haunt me still. So but we ended up having a pretty good day. I think Alex and I did you and Jeremy kind of had a fairly moderate day, wouldn't you say?
No, I think that was actually one of our better days. We just were not getting the size. Like I don't know what the deal was. We went on a flurry there after that storm rolled through where I was catching fish like every third cast. And it was a chatterbait. And when we got, it was kind of that first day, and really throughout the whole trip, a white chatterbait was like really, that was like, and of course I had like two white chatterbaits. All my chatterbaits are like a darker color. Yeah. I was like, go figure.
I was throwing a white spinnerbait, same thing, basically.
Yeah, I didn't throw a spinnerbait at all. I kind of got a little bit of a, throughout the trip, I got a little bit of a, I got stubborn and I was like, you know what? I want to throw, it wasn't a mag draft, but these mag draft type swim baits I throw, I just like that bite so much. Like, I was just like, I'm just going to throw it. And that it
you stuck with that basically after the first day, every single day.
Yeah, it was just, that's a fun, I didn't go there to catch him on, although your Ned rig was pushing me to the limit because you were torching them on a Ned rig. And I was like, I was looking at Alex and I was like, dude, I do not want to pick up this fucking Ned rig, but I would fish it for a little bit, and then I was like, screw this, dude, I'm not doing this. I didn't come to Pennsylvania to do that.
That's honestly what I was doing. Here's why I did it. I was in the front of the boat.
I know why you did it, because you're good at fish.
I was catching 3 to 4. My other backup, like the white, I fished a white spinnerbait, like the other, you know, that was like my two rods I had out the entire time, basically. Mm-hmm. And so like the guy in the back of the boat was fishing a spinnerbait or a chatterbait, and they would, like, we would catch, as we moved to different spots, we both catch like one or two off the moving bait. And I was like, okay, I'm going to switch and he can keep fishing that. And he would catch one or two more, and I would catch 7 or 8 more, you know, out of those spots. So it was just kind of one of those things that, like, I got to do a little bit of both, but I would say that I spent way more time doing it than I wanted to on the trip.
Yeah. I mean, there's no shame in it, especially, I mean,
a little bit of shame. I felt slight shame.
I wouldn't have felt it, because we've had other scenarios where Pickering's famous for absolutely obliterating everybody on a Ned rig. And I think you learned that, like, springtime in particular.
That's what I was doing. That's exactly, I was doing his exact technique.
Yeah. Springtime. And we won't tell exactly how it's fished, because it isn't quite how you would probably think you would fish it. But it's a little bit of a trade secret. But that Ned rig in the spring, in particular, just the spring, I feel like as you move into the summertime, it produces a lot of like small fish. But dude, you can freaking crush giants on it in the spring. It is a deadly, deadly, deadly Nedly. Is what they call it, the deadly Nedly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dude.
It was definitely a different. So we did a lot of the fishing right there at the house. At least I did. Mm-hmm. I would say that we pretty much had the river to ourselves the entire week. Would you agree?
Yeah, dude. I mean, we were talking about this before we came on, but I have a bone to pick with Pennsylvania anglers, and I'm sure it's like this other places. So it's, maybe it's not unique to Pennsylvania, but dude, like, you, the Susquehanna River is, you know, for the type of fishing we do, like, it really doesn't get any better just from a combination of like mass water to fish, quality of, you know, volume of fish, quality of fish, all that stuff combined. I mean, it is truly a river smallmouth treasure. And there, one of the like great things about it is just the sheer amount of water to fish. And you really, no matter if it's on a weekend or not, you should never have to feel like shoulder to shoulder in that river. It's just too big, too wide, too much habitat for those fish to be in. And we all know in the springtime that fish migrate towards tributary mouths, creek mouths. Like, that's a pattern, you know, whatever. But like, it's just one place. Like, there's other places where pre-spawn fish go. Like, but creek mouths are easy to target. And dude, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Guys, there's an empty river, and there will be 15, 20 boats in this tiny little creek on top of each other. And like,
I thought it was a consequence of like the high winds. I thought people were tucking in for like trying to get
away. It wasn't
the
like
wind,
that.
But it wasn't like that on the days that it wasn't windy. So I don't know if that's just the thing out there or what, but
it's,
I don't
honestly
know.
It's pretty shameful. You think a Ned rig shameful, dude? The Ned rig shameful? I think not. The stacking and creek mouths, guys, like, don't be posting pics of a bunch of big fish if you're getting them in creek mouths there, dude. I'm sorry. It's not the same. It's not the same as going to find them on the main river. Like, and I mean that, I don't mean like,
it's a hard stance.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, dude. I don't mean that by tributaries, because there are tributaries where you can go fish. You know, the Juniata is one of those, like, bigger. You know, you're not cornering fish into like a, you know, a little pool. Like, dude, we're talking like creeks that are like not big at all, and you got like boats like right next to each other. And you know, the shameful thing is the guides go up in there. Like, the guides go up in there, and I'll call out any Susquehanna guide. I don't care. Like, if you pay a guide to take you out on the Susquehanna River and they run you up in the creek with 10 other boats, dude, I would be like so mad. I would be like, take me out of here. I do not want to be here. It's that is so, so terrible. And so
I went up in the creek. Did you not? You didn't go up into any creeks while you're there at all?
I mean, I'm not saying that it's not okay to go up in the creek at some point and fish it. Like, it's fine.
Damn,
like,
you keep freezing.
Don't spend the whole day on. Though.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one thing to go up in the creek. If you want to go up in the creek and fish it, like, sure. Whatever. But, like, these guys are, like, launching at the creek and going up in these creeks that are not even really big enough for a jet boat anyways, and spending the entire day up there with clients who are paying them hundreds of dollars. I'm like, dude.
That's what I saw, too. I don't know.
Bro, like, I don't, like, that's some
It was crazy, man. It was crazy. I'll say that. It was, because, honestly, like, I really legitimately did not see... that's not true. We saw two other boats one
we
day.
Saw some on the
yeah. last stretch that we did.
Yes, we yeah. did. We saw,
but other than that, that was the only time I saw people other than at the
trip, which is wild to me. I just, and like, you would go, I was thinking like, oh, we'll run up in this creek that's by the house.
Dude, for some reason I'm like, breaking up very bad.
Well,
are you having pauses or breakups?
You're 100% good on my end. Yeah, must be your internet. But yeah, I don't know
why my connection is super super slow right now.
Yeah, you can disconnect or connect. Give me a second. Whatever. I keep going. I can monologue about this creek thing. I'm going all day, bud. This is just this bullshit fishing, dude. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty terrible.
Oh, I mean, I don't. I missed some of your rant, maybe, but I'll just say this. I definitely noticed it too. I thought it was odd.
Yeah, that being said.
Because, only because, like, we found them. Like, I felt like they were not just in those spots. So,
we 100% did, which I thought was the. Here's the thing. Chris, I will give Chris credit for this pattern because him and Alex definitely, like, cracked the code on the first day we were out there, and I didn't experience it because we were doing something else. And when we went out the next time on the main river, I was like, okay, let's do it. And immediately I was like, oh yeah, this is what they're doing. Like, and it was cool because, you know, you think of pre-spawn. You know, pre-spawn is one of those times of like back home, like here, it's not quite like that. I feel like the fish are just kind of everywhere feeding. There's not very obvious areas where they stack up because fish spawn on our rivers because you kind of have to reverse engineer it, right? Like you think about like, okay, I know fish are on beds right now on the Susquehanna. I just saw a guy fishing, said they're on beds. So we missed it by a week that they would be on beds. Now, I don't know if all of them are beds, but we knew they were getting close because that water temperature was popping. It was hiking every day that we were there. And you got to think like, okay, if these fish are going to be spawning within the next couple weeks, like they're not going to be very far from where they're going to be spawning. So you think about, okay, where do fish spawn? And we know from previous experience, you know, creek mouths are obviously one, but they spawn on the back of islands, in the sides of islands. That's like a really common area where they spawn. And yeah, you can tell how you found the pattern because when I finally saw it for myself, it was like one of those like, oh, this is actually cool. Like we really like got a pattern that we could apply to other places. We could apply to like here if we come here again, and nobody was doing it. Nobody was doing it, which is crazy. So
I'm losing you for like 45 seconds at a time.
Well, we can pause it if you want. Let's pause it.
I don't know. I mean, my speed test says everything's fine.
I don't know. Sometimes, why don't you get off and come back on? How about that?
We're just gonna have to re-record because this is I'm not even able to participate in the conversation. You're so
yeah, crazy. I know, but it actually has been going fairly well. I've just been talking more. So what I was saying is, I was talking about how we were reverse engineering from the spawn, right? Like you have, you know, you think about the creek mouses, why those fish are there, but like we're a week or two out from these fish spawning, and you're like, okay, you know, we know that they spawn on the back and the sides of islands. Like we know that from other trips. That's like where these fish spawn for whatever reason, you know, that is just where they spawn. And like, if you've been to the Susquehanna, you know, like there's tons of islands. And like, for me, it was really cool when you figured it out. You guys were telling us, we went to the next spot and I was like, first spot I pulled up on, I was like, okay, this looks like a spawning area. Like I'm going to fish this seam off the back of the island. And I like threw my swim bait up there and I didn't catch the fish, but I had a monster just absolutely crush that swim bait. And I was like, oh shoot. Like, yeah, that's the fish. And we did it like three or four other times. I actually missed that day. I missed like four absolute giants, the first four islands that we went to. And then, yeah, from then on, I was like, dude, yeah, this is like where the fish are at. And like you could, it was fairly predictable. I was like I said, it was like one of those times where I hit a pattern where I was like, dude, we like legit got them cornered. Like we got them cornered.
Yeah. I felt the same way. I mean, yeah, it was great, man. It was good. That was really, really fun to be like, have them dialed to the point where you're like, okay, I know I'm going to hit some here, you know, and I know I'm going to hit some there. And you know, as long as you were willing to put in the time. And then by the fourth day, the fishing was phenomenal, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the like, fourth day.
The fourth day, like the last day we were there, we crushed them the last day. So, and they had moved kind of to more generally just like anywhere where there's a current break, you could find them pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, there was definitely moments in this trip where I was getting frustrated. It didn't seem like you guys, your boat was as frustrated at times as I was. I was getting, especially that second day.
Yeah.
There was points in the day where I was like, dude, like what is going on? Like, and there was never like, oh, we're not catching fish, but it was just like, dude, I know there's fish around here. Like, why are we not getting in? And we were getting a lot of like, a ton of follows and short strikes and things like that that were just like really irritating. But yeah, the last day when it, which honestly my best, I don't even think I told you the story, but the last day after you left was probably my best, like it was my best like streak. And we
like that night.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got Alex and I had, we hopped around to like three different ramps and we got to this one ramp and we both like were fishing this bank. And there was actually quite a few people out on this particular stretch. Cause it was Friday. It was a nice day. I think that was like the day more people were out and, Alex caught a 19 and I caught an 18 and we're like, okay. And then we kind of went on a little bit of a dry spell, but for like maybe like 45 minutes, we didn't get a bite. And I was like, you know what, man, we're thinking about moving ramps again. I was like, do you want to move ramps? And he's like, yeah, let's just run back. So we ran back and also found two other feeder creeks right there, by the way, that we didn't go in. I was like, dang, those look good. we should have went, but we decided to go back to a place we had fished before earlier in the week because we knew there were fish there. And went and got put in, and I actually ran into a guy, Tony Bryant from Virginia. He was down there at this particular area and said hi to him or whatever. And Alex, I ran way upriver, and we were like, okay, we're going to float down the section. And it was kind of one of those things which we can talk a little bit about it, too, about the morning thing that we were texting about, because I feel like there was – yeah. Yeah. So like there's a lull in the middle of the day. That day was no different. It was like the middle of the day. It was kind of like, yeah, man, starting to wear off a little bit. And then I was like, there has to be an evening bite. We haven't stayed out late enough to get really an evening bite. There has to be an evening bite. We were fishing through some like really good looking stuff. And I was like, we probably had 2 hours left to fish and we knew we had to go. And it was the last 2 hours we're going to fish the whole trip. And I told Alex, I was like, man, I just want to catch like one more nice one on this. That's all I want to do. He's like, yeah, man, I want to catch one too. And dude, it was just about that time. It was like, bam, 18, bam, 18 half, bam, 18, 18, 18. Dude, I just started absolutely crushing them. Like,
nice.
It was like, boom, 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 boom. I think I caught like 6 over 18 in like 20 minutes.
Holy smokes. Like,
I was smoking them, dude. I caught a few smaller fish, and Alex could not get bit. Like, he was throwing the same type of thing as me. Not the exact thing, but same type of thing. And I was like, I finally caught like my, like, we still had like an hour left to fish, but I was like, you know what, man? I was like, here, you come up the front. I was like, I cut my swim bait off because I accidentally, like, I don't know how it happened. I like got tangled with him and his broke off. So I cut mine off and I was like, here, dude, just use this, come up in the front deck. And we must have just moved past the spot where there are a bunch of fish. When we get down, this is really funny. We get down to this area, and I think he might have missed a couple or something. Yeah, he missed a couple fish, and I wasn't even fishing. I was just like running the trolling motor from the console and like whatever. And we get back down to where we kind of took off from, and Tony was still there, still catching fish, by the way. The dude was like crushing them. And he goes, yeah, man. He goes, there was a fish busting shad right there on the bank. And he goes, I couldn't catch it though. And like just about that time, you see, like, it was the only time I saw it the whole trip. There was a ball of shad that like came out of the water. Like, there was obviously a smallmouth like chasing them. And I was like, oh, Alex. I was like, throw in there. And he like throws in there, kind of like a bad cast at first, and then throws in there again and reels in, doesn't get bit, throws in like 3 or 4 times, doesn't get bit. And I was like, dude. I was like, I got to at least throw in here. And I grabbed the munchie. It was the only thing I had tied on. First cast, dude, I got fucking hammered.
That's so brutal. I hate that.
He took the swim bait and hooked it on the reel. And he goes, dude, I'm hungry. Let's go get some
meat. Yeah, no shit. Get me out of here. Golly.
That was pretty bad.
I did that to Danny one time, like 2 years ago. Man. And it was like a 20 and a half on Lake Huron. It's a monster. And he did the same thing. He tried to catch it for like, and we could see it, you know, it was like moving around this big rock, like way out in front of us. And we could see, it was just like black moving around, you know, like surfing around looking. And he tried like 4 or 5 casts at it. Just like, eventually I was like, okay, I got to do one that's like getting too far away. And I like, and it just immediately ate it. I was like, oh man, it's such a brutal fit. You can take almost no joy in it. So yeah, Alex, man, he hammered him. I felt like
Alex probably caught more fish than I did during trip. He was definitely
the first morning we had a little bit of a rough time. Like because the weather was crazy and like it took us a minute to find out where they were. But after that, I felt like pretty much for the rest of the trip, we kind of had him cornered. So yeah, and yeah. I never met Jeremy before. Great guy, awesome to have him on the trip. He was he was very, very helpful and very very good fisherman. So
got us out of a couple jams.
Yeah, so anyways, dude, it was very fun. From a fishing perspective, I would say I have to rate it very highly. I thought it was pretty good.
Like last year's pre-spawn trip was almost a complete bust.
Yeah.
That was like, it was a complete bust in our sort of like our rating system. I've had worse, but when you take consideration where you're at and all that, the springtime is such a volatile time of year because weather can change on a dime and like temperatures, you know, water temperatures can plummet or rise and all that, even, you know, warming trend can be bad in the spring if it's too fast. You know, you really like, you know, consistency, whether it be flow, temperature, or whatever, the fish definitely don't like sharp changes of things. And, yeah, I think, but, and it was, I would say it wasn't like super consistent while we were there, but it leveled off as we were getting there. And I think that sort of helped our cause. But yeah, man, I think that if like 10 is the best trip we've ever had, which we know the one we're talking about, the first and best trip we've ever had, like this is, this falls, you know, probably like a 7, you know, 7.5 maybe. I would give it like,
it was good. Plus you and Jeremy won the intra house tournament, dude.
I feel like, no, it wasn't me and Jeremy. It was me and Alex.
Oh, you and Alex. That's right. You and Alex.
Yeah. We had a little on day 3,
little tournament,
had a little tournament. I feel like there was money mentioned, but after we won, nobody wanted to mention it. So, but it was like best 5.
There was no money mentioned.
I clearly said $1,000 before the thing.
I did not.
I shook on it. We shook on it, dude.
No money was mentioned. I think it was explicitly the stakes couldn't be lower was the joke throughout there. But what did you get? You guys won by what? A half an inch or something?
I think we had a 95 even, and you guys had like 94.5, 94.25. So yeah. I mean, that's pretty good though. Like 95 inches, dude, like
the next day. The next day we had 96 on my boat. And then we had, and then we went out in the evening and had 95 on the same day.
Yeah, that's probably the one like evening thing that I was really jealous of. Because it sounded like you boys had a good time
that time too. The night with Alex was pretty good. Anyways, it was a great trip, man. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I thought it was I'm always very intimidated by that river though. Like it is very intimidating. It's so wide. There's so much water. It's hard to run. It's a very technical, even when the river is fairly high, you know, this was easier than any other time. I think I've been out here to run my jet boat. We didn't hit anything really.
I definitely hit a couple things. Nothing like crazy. I know Jeremy said something about a teeth chattering hit with you. So I know you at least hit one rock. I don't know when it was.
With my trolling motor, for sure.
No, I thought he was saying the main motor.
No, I didn't hit any rocks. I hit a like a shallow sandbar when I was trying to get on plane once. Mm. So it probably felt like a rock, but I didn't hit any. No damage really to the boat. At all.
You sure about that?
From the entire trip.
You sure about that?
Well, other than my trolling motor, yeah. The boat's fine. The boat's doing great. But I do need lithiums if some son of a bitch is listening to this podcast and wants to sponsor us. Yeah. I need lithiums because the water being up like that, dude, fighting against current. I burned my acid batteries up so freaking fast. It was crazy.
Yeah, I burn my lithiums. I only have a 24-volt system, and I really want to switch over to 36. I just don't want to spend the money on a new trolling motor. But I burned mine the first day because it was the wind and the current. Like, it was like,
yeah.
I mean, I was on 10 all day. But after that day, I didn't ever run them down. Word to the wise for anybody with lithiums, I've had this happen twice. If your battery ever like goes completely dead, at least the ones I have, the B&O power ones, which they're like nice, like name brand batteries, and it will go into like a safety mode when it gets down so low, and like, you can't charge it. Like, you have to jump it with another battery. You have to basically put like jumper cables from positive, positive, negative, and negative, then put your charger on it. And then the charger recognizes it, and then you can charge it up. That saved my bacon figuring that out. So if you're ever, in a situation where you completely drain one of the batteries, I don't know that there's you're supposed to have to do that, but I do know the BNOs do that because I've had it happen twice now. So,
wow.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Word of the wise. But yeah, I mean, we had a recommendation for, I have to say it was the GOAT of fishing yeah. trip restaurants.
Yeah, we went back there three times.
We did. We went back there. Did
was
we
go it back twice? There
four? Was... No. I mean, hang on. I'm trying to think here. Did we go back there that last? Oh, no. We were actually, yeah. we're going to go back after you left, and they yeah. closed early. So we went to a different restaurant that very last night, which was cool. It was on the river. The last restaurant, literally out the front, we ate outside. You could see the Susquehanna. It was actually really cool.
Oh, well, that's nice.
But yes.
What was the name? What was the name of the place where we went?
I can't Stony remember. Creek Inn. Stony Creek Inn. Came highly recommended, and it was, dude, it was amazing. Very good. Chris ate the same soup three times.
So. It was all, and then we had the pretzel crab roll thing that was phenomenal.
There was
not trying to blow up anybody's spot. You know, if it's your favorite restaurant, you don't want to see a bunch of people there.
Yeah, some people get mad when you blow up spots. So, I mean, you got to be careful. Naming spots can be tough, you know.
So, I would say
spots the crab even tougher.
The crab cakes were phenomenal. I love that place, dude. I thought it was so good.
Dude, it was amazing. Yeah, I was like, dude, it was like, you know, anytime anybody recommends a restaurant, you're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. You know, I've been to a lot of restaurants, you know, especially around there. You're kind of like, it's not a major city. So, you know, the food tend in those places tend to not be quite as like good as like a major city. Dude, that place, that would be like a 5-star in Indianapolis for sure. Like, dude, yeah, it was
very good.
It was small too.
And the music, the ambiance on that first time we went was...
Somebody just put six pence none the richer on, dude. I was digging
every time.
It.
Every time I put sixpence none the richer on that bitch.
Kiss me.
Every restaurant in Pennsylvania's got a jukebox, and I've downloaded all the apps now. I've got all the apps. I know all the ways to operate those things. And I can
that's a is that a Pennsylvania thing? The jukebox thing?
Yeah,
is
man. Every place we go has a jukebox in there. Of course, they're all like the new ones that you have to have an app for. Or,
I mean, whatever, dude, between Stony Creek Inn and Sheetz, dude, God, like you Sheetz can have so you can have anything. Your culinary experience is going to be absolutely top notch.
I gotta say, like their gas stations are so good. Our gas stations are shit here.
Yeah, I don't know
Rutgers,
what it is.
Sheetz, like, they're all really nice. They've got good food and like food to order.
I wouldn't
eat out of our gas stations. They're weird.
Yeah, they're gross. They have like roller hot dogs, dude. That's like the best thing that we have. Or
roller
like
roller dogs. That's I will say that's a metaphor for the difference between Pennsylvania and Indiana. The people in Pennsylvania seem way angrier than the people in Indiana.
Dude, there's
why are you angry? You've got the best river in the world. And you've got gas stations that don't make you feel weird going into them.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, dude. I definitely, I would live in Pennsylvania if it weren't for the people. Let's be honest. I don't know. I got love for a lot of Pennsylvania people.
I was
going to
say,
got a lot of Pennsylvania. It's all in jest, but I will say there is something to like Midwest hospitality because there's a distinct difference when you come here. And I would say specifically on the water, the water, like fishermen in Indiana.
I got some waves out there this time. I got some waves when I was out there.
Yeah. I didn't really see many people unless I was like
that last day I did.
Dude. I mean, the one we were trying to go up in one of those said creeks in the evening. I will say if you do get up there, like, and there's not a bunch of boats, like fishing can be absolutely phenomenal. Like There's a reason why there's those people there. So it's not like I like, oh, I never would go there. It's just that, yeah, whatever. But it, one night we were like, okay, we'll wait really late and go up there. And we like went up there and there was like people blocking. There's like people were acting super weird. Like I was like, I was kind of like, I don't know if I should go around them. And they would kind of like almost maneuver where they like didn't want you to pass them. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? Just like fish behind them the whole time? Like I was just trying to get around them and go to a spot because they were like anchored. They're like anchored in the spot. And I was like working up this bank and I got within probably, I don't know, 50 yards of them. And I was like, oh, I'll swing out really wide and go around them. And then they all of a sudden they took it off spot lock and just started like going.
You know
up.
What's like, weird what, about what we it is like, here? It was the closest to like, and it wasn't even close. Okay. Just for the record, it was like a close to like what you see, like those combat fishing.
Yeah.
Videos.
At times. Yeah.
It felt a little like that. And what was so odd about it is that it's a, you know, a huge, huge river. So it's just weird that there were that many people kind of shoved into those small spots.
It's because there's a lot of fish there. You know, I mean,
I get that. There's a lot of fish there,
but and you don't have to work very hard to catch them. Like you just cast at the bank and they'll eat. Like it was not that hard to catch them in those creeks. But there's also a ton of fish out on the main river too, and it's not like, I mean, it's not like it took like, it's not like you're going out there and having to like fish in 20 foot of water with live scope. And like, it wasn't like that. Like we were fishing in like, you know, 3, 4, 5 foot of water, like with moving baits, like they were eating. Like, it wasn't like, it was like, oh my gosh, it's so hard to locate them. You know,
I think from my perspective, like I have no issue with it at all. I think it's very smart. That's where the fish are. That's where you should go. I don't really feel that weird about it. I just feel like it's just not for me. Like with all the boats around and like, I don't know. I go out there to kind of get away a little bit. And I feel like it would stress me out. Like being,
I'm going to go completely different than that. I think it's the dumbest shit I've seen in a long time. So, hey, if you want to go do it, like,
no, I don't at all. That's my point, is like, it's just not for me at all. Like,
yeah,
I also look at like the same thing with like the Maumee River Run, you know, the Maumee walleye thing.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Where there's just like,
yeah, they stand like shoulder to shoulder. Yeah.
Also doesn't appeal to me. But obviously people enjoy it and good for you. Just to me, it's just guys that fish off of the piers on Lake Michigan, same way.
And honestly, dude, I'll throw bed fishing in there, even though that I've done it before. It's in the same category. Like, it's kind of like, in a vacuum, is it fun? Yeah, it's fun. Would I choose to go do that over like with an opportunity to go do something else close by? No way. And am I going to make fun of the people that choose to do it a little bit? Yeah, I'm going to.
I don't blame. You can make fun of whoever you want, dude. It's your podcast, and you can make fun of people if you want.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with being like, oh, we're such great fishermen or anything. It's like, I would rather spend a day on the main river and catch like 12, 15 fish than go up there and catch 40 and like be packed with sardines. And because I mean, it's not really sporting.
I didn't really do any of that. I just saw it as I was going by. I didn't ever.
I didn't either. When we got there, there were people there. I'm like,
I thought you did like one where you went there and there were tons of people there. And so you like, did you just turn around and leave at that point or what'd you do?
Yeah, you could say that. Well, there's a couple of times. One of them we went up and I was like, okay, there's like, it was like you could see two boats when you went into the creek. And then as I got up further, I saw like two more ahead of them. And I was like, fuck this. So we just left.
Gotcha.
We fished the mouth of it and caught some, some nice ones, but even that was kind of like you had to spot lock in like 100-mile-an-hour current. It was not easy.
How useful did you find your talons when you were out there this time?
I used them a couple times. Yeah, they're okay.
Is your like general thought? Because like I haven't really even talked to you about this, but you put one for the people that you know are listening. He put one talon on the back of his jet boat. Mm-hmm. Do you notice oscillation?
I couldn't put two because of the way my setup is. It wouldn't. There's no room for it on the other side. I couldn't steer my motor. Basically, yeah. I would have to get some fabricated for like the pods if I were to do that. I at times have used it, not very much like actively. I would say most of the time I'm using it is when it's in either really slow water, because it doesn't do great. If there's like a lot of current, it's hard to get a good bite unless you have like a muddy bottom or something. And where there's currents, usually rocky, it'll help. Like I did anchor in some of those areas, but as soon as you like go up in the front and it lifts that up, then and you start going, it's hard to get stopped again.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I use it more so, like last year on the Menominee, there were a couple times where we wanted to stay completely still and it was in shallow water. So that was the most I've ever used it while I was fishing. But honestly, the best thing is when you beat your boat to like go get your truck or whatever, that's honestly when it's the most useful, because I just tap it and it keeps my boat from moving. You know, you don't have to tie it up. That's like,
so going back, would you buy it again?
Yeah, for what I pay for it, for sure. Would I buy like a $2,000 one? Maybe not. I've thought about getting, if I would do it, I think dual ones would make a lot more sense because you could really hold you. But I don't even that in a river with rock. I don't know how well it works, but I like it. I would do it again. Yeah, it's a good addition to it. Yeah, I like it. It's simple too. Not much to screw up.
So, I wish I could put one on the front of my boat.
You can. You can put one of those. I know you can. There's the trolling motor mount for the micro power poles. Yeah, somebody was telling me about that you can put a micro power pole in the front.
Well, I just noticed that like most of the time I like facing the front of my boat up toward like into the current.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
That way I don't have to fish like downstream,
if that makes sense. Yeah.
Sometimes you could do it where you like are off to the side of a spot or whatever. Uh-huh. But
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things. I feel like the spot lock does the job most of the time. It's just if it's ripping current and it's too much for spot lock, those things aren't going to make a difference anyways. You know,
honest review of the single talon.
It's a gadget. I think I like it. I like it better than not having it, and it doesn't add much weight, and it hooks up to your cranking battery. So
what do you think the next thing that you want to do for your, cause you did a stainless steel impeller this year. Did you do a stainless steel sleeve too? Or what else did you do?
No, they don't make stainless steel sleeves, or at least
I thought you did something else. Did you do new like a new jet foot or something, or what'd you?
No, I just did. I put the new, that was an impeller and stuff in last year. I haven't really done any crazy upgrades, some storage stuff, some mounting type stuff. What I want to do is put Wetlander on the bottom of my boat. Honestly,
that's
what I want to put is Wetlander. Cause honestly, I'm not even worried about my boat getting dented and stuff. If it happens, it happens.
I'm not worried about mine getting dented at all.
No, your boat is a tank. It has a lot of trauma, dude. The boat has a lot of trauma. It's seen a lot of shit. But you know you know what I hate is like aluminum grabs everything. It's really like grabby. Yeah. And if I had Wetlander on it, you would be able to slide it over stuff. The only thing with Wetlander, you can buy that Gator Glide and put it on yourself. It's not terribly hard. It's like a two-part epoxy thing that you can brush on. It's not hard to do, but you have to remove the motor. That'd be the hardest part, and turn your boat upside down. So
that's pretty hard.
I think removing the motor wouldn't be that hard. It'd be finding somewhere to put it. Like you have to build like a little motor stand for it. I bet
your dad could do that. Your dad wouldn't know how to do all that shit.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be that hard. You'd have to unhook some stuff. It wouldn't be. Yeah, the only thing I'm not 100% sure on is how you unhook the. I know how you'd unhook everything besides the electrical harness. I don't know if there's like a central. From what I can tell, there's not like a central like harness that you would unplug. So I don't know how you do that. But yeah, turning your boat upside down, I could accomplish that. It wouldn't be that hard. You have to drain your gas tank and stuff. But yeah, the Gator Glide, the whatever Wetlander type stuff on the bottom to make it slick. That's what I would like to do. And you can take it places to get that done. But if I did that, I would probably want to go take it and have K5 put on it, which is that like the like impact resistant type stuff that they spray on it too. And it's like $5,000 to do it on the boat. And at that point, I'm like, do you want to put $5,000 into that boat? I don't know. You know, kind of like if I'm going to put $5,000 into something, I might just get a new rock proof or something. So, yeah.
Now you're talking. All right. Well, dude, thank you very much for.
Are we ending it without telling the story?
We're ending.
Are you trying to get out, Chris? We're debating. I was pro story. Chris is anti story. Here's my only fear. I have no problem because this is this probably the best story that it's probably the best story we've ever had. Like all things considered, that nobody died. Because easily we could have died, unscathed is the best story. So my only fear is that it never gets told, that we forget about it and nobody tells it. Because if it's a year later, it's going to be tough. Or like this fall, it's going to be tough. So if you want to save it, if you want to save it, I'll save it. But it's got to be like in the next. It's got to be the next episode, and we got to have a guest on. That's what it's got to be.
Save it.
Save for next episode. Deal?
We'll save it, yep.
We're not saving it for the boys trip. We're not saving it for the boys trip, because it'll be diluted by then. But we gotta have a guest. We'll have Jeremy and Alex on. How about that? Jeremy all and right. Alex
sounds
can
good.
Come on. We can get all the perspectives of the story.
Oh boy. All right. Sounds good. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. And as always, dude, free the damn fighter.
Free the fighter, baby.
No.